Jam Hour of Wildy and Tausch. Jesse Nelson in is your cousin sub of the day for Jason Wildy, who we just heard from moments ago. If you missed him, that's his only appearance I think he's going to make all day today on ESPN Wisconsin, if that's the case. And for the rest of our show, Chad Clifton, he was pretty good too. You can find the full show podcast available on Apple, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, and wherever you get your podcasts. Tausch, you teased us leading into the 11 a.m. hour, and this was something we meant to get to yesterday because it was fascinating commentary. It's definitely different than anything we've heard up to this point about the ongoing standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And I'll be honest, Tausch, I didn't know this show was still on. Speak for yourself. Afternoons on FS1. I had no idea. I thought that show got canceled like 2 years ago. But apparently it's still around. Emmanuel Acho is one of the faces and voices of it. And he weighed in earlier this week on the Aaron Rodgers standoff, shared his perspective of why maybe all of this is going on. Let's have a listen.
He looks real petty, but here's why I said what people don't know is the story my brother has shared with us publicly on his show and in private with me about how last year when they were negotiating the collective bargaining agreement, all the reps from the 32 different teams, the player reps, were there. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is a Packers player rep, but he was not at the majority of the negotiations. He flew in on the very last day, and he flew in on the very last day to make one grandiose statement. Mm. He said, I don't want to have voluntary workouts, and I don't want to have voluntary minicamp. The seasons are long. There's no need for the voluntary workouts. Let's just show up for training camp. Obviously, as we know, there's a collective vote on the collective bargaining agreement, mm-hmm. and everyone voted against Aaron Rodgers. So what did Aaron Rodgers do? Well, if y'all not going to vote with me, I'm just going to give myself my own voluntary offseason and not have to show up.
All right. This is interesting, Tausch. Yes. Now, here's the only thing I'll say about it before I let you weigh in on everything that Emmanuel Acho just had to say there. In my favorite TV shows, The Blacklist, most notably, because I'm big on The Blacklist this week, huge episode Wednesday night. Another one coming up next week. A lot of times what you get are some ridiculous plans that lead to more entertainment throughout the course of the show. Like, if you want to take somebody out, you could just probably call that person and have them meet you on a park bench and boom, you can take them out. Instead of hiring one person that travels across overseas to meet up with someone else, that meets their brother, that lures them out, and all this like 5-6 episode arcs to get to one point. So I find it hard to believe, because this is real life, not The Blacklist, that Emmanuel Acho would make this argument that Aaron Rodgers has this goal that he wants to accomplish with CBA negotiations, and he's willing to create a schism with management of the Green Bay Packers in order to accomplish his goal as a player rep. I just feel like that's a little far-fetched for me, unless I'm misunderstanding any of what Emmanuel Acho is saying. I'll let you take it from there.
Okay, so last year, and this was before the pandemic, there was the battle of, you know, whether or not this CBA was going to get ratified. Aaron was starkly opposed to what the CBA that ended up being ratified was, for a lot of reasons. This was something that he felt, you know, he felt like getting a 17th game should have never been on the table. He called. Normally we reach out to him. He actually reached out and said he wanted to talk about this because there was an urgency to it. There was a timeline. He does not want the regular. He doesn't want the offseason. And you're hearing J.C. Tretter, the head of the union, also saying this. This was something that is Aaron feels really strongly about. And I had not looked at it because, to your point there, is this really something he is going to hold over for his career and his legacy? It is not the main thing, but it is a part of this. He did not want to be forced to come to Green Bay to do mini camps and to do OTAs. He doesn't feel like, from how last season went and with the numbers, and if you saw what J.C. Tretter put out, the injuries and everything else, They saw this as the way, this is how the offseason should be. Young players can go if they want to get their work in, to learn the system, but veteran players need not do this anymore. It is a long season. Now you're lengthening it by another game. There should be trade-off. They did not get that trade-off in the CBA, and that irked him immensely. So what Acho is saying there, he obviously was in those, his brother was in those meetings. We heard Aaron say it straight to us. He thought that this was a bad CBA. He didn't want to sign it. He pushed, and they actually, that executive committee actually voted to not take the CBA. Then they moved it to a full vote, which doesn't usually happen. And then the full vote and the full membership voted to ratify it. Can say whether or not it's a good deal or not. That's up for you to decide. But he does not want this offseason, and this is a part of it that I think is not been talked about. He is adamantly against any off-season work that veterans have to do. He wants to, just like he said with BA the other day, he is enjoying his time. He's got a fiance. He's got his life out in California. He needs to be in Green Bay 7 months already. He doesn't want to have to fly back and forth. He works. He's going to get his work in. He's going to come to camp ready. Everybody believes that. And he doesn't think it's necessary, and he is going to showcase that he doesn't want to do that. That is another piece of it. But as far as the big picture with the Green Bay Packers, this whole thing is about control. He wants to control. He sees the NBA guys. He saw what Tom Brady did. He wants that. And part of that control is, I will show up for the regular season and do all the work I need, but I'm not coming in April. I'm not coming in May. I'm going to live my life. I am now 37 going on 38, and I want to spend time with my wife, my fiance, and my friends and my businesses out in California. That is another layer to this, and I'm glad Acho brought that up because it's been underlooked.
That makes sense, and I'm not upset with Rodgers for feeling that way, knowing how he felt about the CBA a year ago. I just don't think he's... It would be stupid for him to go to the length of reporting that he wants a trade from Green Bay to Adam Schefter in order to create a reason for him to not show up for OTAs because he wants some personal time.
That is the corollary product. That is just another layer to what is a complicated situation. That is not the reason he is not here. There's many reasons that Lord knows we've discussed ad nauseum. But this is another little component that he wants player empowerment. Like, he wants players to take ownership of their own careers. He felt like that CBA did not give that. He didn't feel like it was a fair deal. He doesn't feel like there should be off-season for veteran players. If they want to come, great. If they want to put in their contracts that there's bonuses, great. But if there's not, he doesn't want mandates that you're forced to do this. And it's another byproduct of why he's unhappy, and he is being able to utilize this in many ways, mainly to get control of his own career back in his hands, and this is a part of that by saying, no, I'm not going to fly out for 3 days. We're going to be doing the same stuff. I get this system now. This isn't a new system to me anymore. I showcased in my MVP season that I know what I'm doing, and I don't need to be out there. And just because the CBA and the NFLPA thinks I do, I don't. And that's why he is no longer a part of the NFLPA's executive committee. He is not the player rep because he is done with that piece. He's saying, I'm going to do it my way. Old Frank Sinatra style.
There haven't been many new windows into the Aaron Rodgers standoff, but this was certainly one from Emmanuel Acho. Did I say new windows, Tosh?
You did, new windows, and when we talk new windows, we'd say it is time to upgrade with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Right now, choose 6 years, no interest financing, or 40% off any installation. Pella Windows now lead Wisconsin and states across the country as number one for highest value, highest quality, highest innovation, and most preferred windows, according to a 2021 consumer survey. And you know what? They offer 9 lines, not standard sizes to fit most, 9 lines, with each one custom measured and made for your home's specific needs. And they're installed by Pella certified installers in as little as 1 day. Order by June 30th for your choice of 6 years, no interest financing, or 40% off any installation. Set your free consultation today at PellaWI.com/radio or give a call at 855-PellaWI. Certain restrictions do apply. See showroom for details.
Game 7 tomorrow night, Bucks Nets, the host of Bucks Talk and the Bucks Radio Network pregame and halftime and postgame show, our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia, scheduled to appear next on Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch is presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella at 855-PELLA-WI or visit online at PellaWI.com/radio.
To Tausch, they do stop tomorrow night. Although I think he can be swayed.
God, that music gets you pumped. That is a great tune, man. Why isn't Bobby Portis playing?
No better way to get set for Game 7 than, number one, jamming out to this, and number two, talking to our Bucks buddy of the Bucks Radio Network and Bucks Talk on ESPN Wisconsin after every Bucks playoff game. It is Justin Garcia. Big one last night in the Deer District, JG. Big win in Game 6.
Yeah, it was pretty big. I know based off what I just heard from Mark, he is going to be picking the Nets, it sounds like, in Game 7. This is not a slight against the Bucks. I didn't have great feelings about yesterday's game. That I just figured if you're Brooklyn, you have to kind of view our health has been pretty tenuous already. If we go ahead and just take care of business tonight, we're not putting any of that to chance in a Game 7, risking more wear and tear and injuries, and we get more rest before the conference finals start. So I thought we were going to see more of a version of Kevin Durant we saw in Game 5, but we've seen home court advantage just play a major factor throughout this series.
Yeah, JG, desperation. You can never underestimate athletes when it's desperate time. Now, there's a desperation, but there's also the nerves that are going to come into it. It's do or die for both. And that's what I'm nervous about. KD is the best player on the court. We heard Giannis, which I was surprised that Giannis said that the other day, that Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. Acknowledging that the best player typically wins these Game 7s, especially when it's at home, that's why I'm worried about it.
I understand the logic, and I agree. And to me, Game 5 was Kevin Durant basically saying, we're not losing this game. And Game 6 was Chris Middleton doing the same thing for the Bucks, that he was the one that prevented the Nets' runs and stopped them every time they happened. Chris Middleton may have single-handedly saved the Bucks' season last night, where the game was down to 5, and he went on a personal 6-0 run to push it back to 11 moving into the fourth. Because if that's a 5 or even 7-point game going into the fourth quarter, I think there's definite shades of, boy, this is already feeling a lot like what we saw happen in Game 5. So he really swung that game, and that was the best game he's ever played in the playoffs. The one thing I would point out is, as we mentioned, Brooklyn is incredibly banged up. James Harden did look better yesterday, but he's still incredibly compromised, and we see no mobility from him. That there was an instance where he got a steal off of Giannis, and they couldn't even start a fast break because he couldn't run. So that was a big issue in yesterday's game, that fast break points were 26-2 for the Bucks. That you factor in Harden can't run and he can't push things in transition. Kevin Durant's the only other ball handler they have. So when you're playing Jeff Green and Joe Harris and Landry Shamet, those are guys that can't handle the ball and initiate the offense. So that really slows down Brooklyn. We saw the Bucks do the opposite, but also, Game 7s, I know everybody points to, hey, anything can happen in this, and I agree with you that you want the best player in a Game 7, but where the Bucks may have the advantage is this is a team full of guys that have gone on some relatively deep playoff runs recently, and even before that, guys like P.J. Tucker and his time that he spent with the Houston Rockets. We've seen this core group go through the playoffs in the conference finals 2 years ago. Brooklyn doesn't really have that. They have Kevin Durant. They have James Harden. But again, James Harden's going to be compromised. Kyrie Irving has done it. I'd be stunned if Kyrie plays in this game. And then you lean on guys like Joe Harris that doesn't have a whole lot of playoff experience, Mike James, Landry Shamet, Nick Claxton. These are all guys that have never been there before, and that, to me, could be a difference maker.
Joined by Justin Garcia of the Bucks Radio Network, Wildy and Tausch. I have a fill-in-the-blank question for you, Justin. If the Bucks win Game 7 tomorrow night, the hero of the game for Milwaukee will be blank.
Ooh. I would say Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer, that it's going to be more of what we saw in game. What? It's going to be more of what we saw in Game 6 with some of the subtle adjustments that I think we've all been saying. You got to do this, and why aren't they doing that? We saw them do it in Game 6. So if they're going to win Game 7, they did more of the same. And to me, that's Bud kind of getting out of the way. And we saw an instance of P.J. Tucker going up to him, and P.J. Tucker playing the role of coach with Bud, getting him that extra motivation. So to me, if Bud does that again, and we see them do some of the same tactics and play the same way they did in Game 6, there's a really good chance they're going to beat the Nets, and that's Coach Budenholzer kind of getting out of his own way in my mind.
JG, that is the incorrect answer. It's Jrue Holiday is the correct answer to that question.
It always stinks when our guests lose fill-in-the-blank games with Tom.
JG, but in all seriousness, like, he has been a great addition to this team. I think everybody will acknowledge that. But don't we need more? We'll win on the road. Like, last night, I thought, you know, he is a good defender. He's doing all the things you want. But he needs to be an offensive threat. He needs to be better on offense if the Bucks are going to advance. Am I crazy?
No, you're not. Because, look, I know early in the series, I think there was kind of a growing belief or thought with Bucks fans of, so his point guard just cursed for us in the playoffs, that you weren't really getting the play from Holiday that you expected. I mean, obviously, what he does on defense, that's going to take away some offensively, but they've been given golden opportunities here with no Kyrie, with James Harden not being at a level where you really need to worry about defending him as much as you would have in the past. And I agree overall on the point with Jrue Holiday, but what I would add is the Bucks need the Jrue Holiday that went 7 of 11 on his shots inside three-point range last night, and not the guy that was 1 of 10 and getting mismatches and yet still settling for step-back threes.
All right, this is the question that I've gotten texted about, and I think everybody, I'm sure you with Matzik on your show, are getting this. Bobby Portis was a big contributor all season. He has been virtually not. We haven't seen or heard much about him in this series. Is there a reason? Is it Tucker? Why is he not getting minutes? What's going on with Portis?
Well, I mean, it's probably unpopular with the Bucks fans, but this is one of the instances where I think we have seen a good job by Coach Mike Budenholzer that they recognize this isn't a series for Bobby Portis, that it took too long for them to develop that, and I think they really honed it in Game 6. But we've seen Kevin Durant basically unstoppable in the mid-range, and you're still playing somewhat switching. It's been a hybrid. We saw more switches yesterday, but it's still kind of a hybrid of switching and playing the drop defense with Brook. Oftentimes, Brook Lopez is caught in no man's land. So I think what we've seen from Coach Budenholzer is saying, we're going to try and do that, but when it starts to be the point where Kevin Durant is taking advantage, and we saw an instance in the first quarter last night where I think it was three straight possessions where they were running a pick-and-roll game, and Kevin Durant was ending up on Brook Lopez and getting that shot that he wanted, and we saw Pat Connaughton foul just to get Brook off the court and make a defensive change. So not playing Bobby Portis has let the Bucks do two things and say, we're going to use Brook when it works, and then in those situations where Brooklyn's able to get loose and start to hunt him, we're just going to go small, and we're going to bring in Pat Connaughton and switch everything and play Giannis at the five. And that, to me, was when they really put the clamps down on the Nets in the fourth quarter, when Giannis was playing center, and we saw Giannis on Kevin Durant, but you were able to switch everything on the perimeter. You can't do that with Brook, and I know Bobby is more mobile than Brook Lopez, but you can't really do it with Bobby Portis either. So this is kind of two extremes. They're either going to go big or they're going to go really small and switch everything. So that leaves Bobby Portis caught in no man's land. There is going to be a role for Bobby Portis in the conference finals should they get there and beyond. It's just with the personnel of Brooklyn, it's not a good matchup for him.
Justin, I will not ask you for an official prediction for tomorrow's game. I will ask you this instead. On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being how we felt immediately after the fourth quarter of Game 5, and 10 being how you felt going into the Magic series last year, how confident are you that the Bucks will win Game 7 tomorrow night?
Game 5, it would have been like a negative 6, but I am somewhere in the middle, and I'm torn to do the reverse jinx and say, you know what, the Nets are going to win just with my history of predictions on this show, because then it means the Bucks win. But I'm in the middle. I mean, I think your hesitation is you're going against Kevin Durant, and we've seen what he's done throughout this series, and we've seen what he's been able to do in home games. But again, health is on the Bucks' side. They are the favorites to win that game tomorrow night, and we're favored to win the series prior to tip-off last night. So health is going to be an issue. We haven't heard anything yet, but I got to believe Kyrie Irving is not going to be available. And it seems like they really figured out what they need to do in defending James Harden yesterday as the game went on, in seeing those limitations and realizing we don't really have to pay attention to him when he's off ball. He's not going to move. And we've seen James Harden just completely ditch spot-up shooting in this series. So that's kind of helped the Bucks, where you have to question, is James Harden really helping the Nets at this point? So I'm in the middle, because the Bucks have the health. The Bucks have seemingly started to get better throughout this series and figured out more how to attack Brooklyn. Your one major concern is we've already seen Kevin Durant go nuclear in this series. So that's what would be the trepidation. I guess I would put it at around a 5. So just completely cop out and keep
nice
my toes
hedge,
right
Jamie.
In the middle there.
Great hedge.
Went to the Jason Wilde School of Question Answering there. Yeah, that's great. Justin, we'll be looking forward to tuning in tomorrow. I will actually be listening for sure, because we'll be driving over to the axe-throwing place I'm going for a bachelor party, which I hope they have TVs that I'm able to watch the game. So,
depending on the results of the game, that might not be a good idea to be throwing axes after a game.
You know, that's a great point. Something to consider. Probably should have thought about it ahead of time. Oh, well. Justin, thanks so much for the time, man. I'm sure one way or another, however it goes tomorrow, we will catch up with you next week.
All right, see you guys.
Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy, joining us here on Wilde and Tausch. You can catch him as part of the Bucks Radio Network pre-halftime, post, and Bucks Talk, following every Bucks postseason game. The Deer District was popping last night, Tausch, and you could tell the mountains were blue for all of those in attendance at what I think has become Wisconsin's best bar, the Deer District.
Yes, the mountains were blue. It was warm. Everybody's fan, Bucks fans, we were not feeling blue, but you'd love it when the can is blue. You know you're having a chilled, cold Coors Light. You know what? I'm thinking the Bucks, can we get this done tomorrow night? I need to just have a Coors Light. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to chill. I'm not going to let all those worries hit me. I want to reset, and I am going to reach for the beer that's made to chill, and that, of course, is Coors Light. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We've never had to do Whoa Nelly before where I'm hosting the show. How do
that's
we do
tricky.
This? I don't know.
We'll figure it out. Well, we can figure it out.
However we do it. We're going to do it next on Wilde and Tausch.
On air, online, and on demand. Get all your favorite ESPN Wisconsin content anywhere you get your podcasts for free. The new Wisconsin On Demand. It's free, it's everywhere, and it's for you.
Usually Jason Wilde is the one telling you about Associated Bank, but good news, I am also an avid Associated Bank customer. And if you want to put the excitement of Milwaukee Brewers baseball in your pocket, get great fan perks, score up to $500. Just open a new Brewers checking account at associatedbank.com/brewers. Meet direct deposit and balance requirements, and you'll collect your bonus within 120 days. Remember, at Associated Bank, your money works here. Plus, you can show how you get back to the crew every day with Brewers checking. You'll be glad you did. Qualifying transactions apply. Member FDIC. Time now for us to figure out how to play Whoa Nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rucker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide.
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for...
Whoa, Nelly!
On Wildy and Tausch.
Tausch, I think I figured it out. I think I know how we're gonna do this. So I've come up with questions... Because that's what I do, because, you know, it's my segment. But I've done a lot of the talking today, so I'd like to involve everyone else in the questions that I ask.
Look at you. Look at you growing.
Yes, you're a ball distributor here. So let's bring in Josh DiMaggio, who we haven't heard from yet. Josh is running the show in the One Call, That's All, Gruber Law Office's studios at Radio City in Milwaukee. Josh, you're an avid Deer District attendee, correct? You've been over there a few times during these playoff games?
I am, absolutely. I love going over there for some beers.
Hey, Deer District. So what I believe from what I have not been there during any of the games yet. But from what I have seen and from what I have heard of people who have been in attendance, I believe the Deer District has replaced AmFam Field as Wisconsin's best drinking place. Wisconsin's new best quote-unquote bar. Because technically AmFam Field's not a bar, but that's where you go, you throw your beers back, your Coors Lights, you enjoy your time. Josh, is that outrageous of me to say?
I don't think it's outrageous by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think it has taken over the AmFam Field parking lot and all that has to do, because that is such a Wisconsin thing. Now, the Deer District is brand new in terms of what it means to the city of Milwaukee and all of that, but it is an absolute great time. I was walking up on Sunday. I was about two blocks away, and the roar you could hear when a big play happened from a far distance was incredible. It felt like being at AmFam Field or being at Lambeau Field. The energy there, the amount of people there to have fun, the all different types of people there, it's a great time. It's so convenient for everyone to get to. You got the fans coming out of the stadium. It's unbelievable. It gets better each time I go.
All right. Again, we have a new contributor on the show. I'm going to tell you, you're wrong again. It's always going to be Lambeau Field, guys. It just is. Like, I love tailgating at a Brewers game at AmFam Field. That's fantastic. Hey, this Deer District, Beer District, whatever you want to call it, it is on the come up. Like, there's no doubt the crowds out there, that is for, you know, that big playoff game. That was a big event last night. Until it's consistent, Lambeau is going to win this, and Jesse, put that up on the poll. Lambeau wins this thing big time.
So what's the poll you want to ask? What's the best quote-unquote bar to drink at? Lambeau, AmFam Field, or the Deer District?
Well, I don't know if you can say bar. What is the best tailgating experience?
I'm not saying tailgating experience.
This
I'm
is in essence
best,
tailgating.
Best drinking experience.
Okay, go best drinking experience at a sporting event. And I think that Lambeau Field wins big time.
I think what you do before you go into Lambeau Field is better than Lambeau Field itself. When you're in there, it's like,
well,
it's like you're in church. Like, you want to respect where you are. You know, you go to the bars down the road beforehand.
I'm not talking about in-game experience, Jesse. I'm talking about the... like, you go down around Lambeau, and you're going to find every different kind of food. I've seen gator getting cooked up out there. You get everybody's handing people beers. Like, it is just... that's the vibe. Last night, like, at Deer District, it's more of a bar feeling. It's not the warm, fuzzy, like... hang out, you can use my restroom, you can park your car there. I still think Lambeau trumps it, but I could be wrong.
Whoa, Nelly.
Whoa, Nelly!
I think Tausch is confusing tailgating and the party feeling for two completely different things, because they are very different. The tailgating, even at AmFam, is different than the in-game experience in the stadium. Same thing with Lambeau and then inside the stadium.
No, Hunter, I'm not mistaking it. what I am doing is I'm not talking about in-game deals. I'm not talking about in-game. I'm talking about your, before you enter, where would I want to be most? And I want to be up at Lambeau with my buddies or with strangers, with the brats frying and the charcoal and the alligator getting cooked and the beers flowing and, hey, yeah, you can use my restroom type deal. Like, that's the community vibe. AmFam Field is great. Tailgating is fantastic. We haven't done that in a while. The Deer District is a new, it's more edgy. It's more of a bar vibe than it is a community sharing of beers. That's the difference.
But it's in the middle of downtown, and it's like the whole community is coming together in this one spot, said.
Hey, let's let the fans tell us, because we'll see who's right and who's wrong.
We'll get it on the poll.
Whoa, Nelly!
And in typical Whoa, Nelly fashion, we spent all our time on that one. So sorry, Hunter, I was going to ask you about getting married. Congratulations. Unfortunately, there's only time for me to talk about my marriage.
The only weddings we talk about on this show are Jesse's and Jesse's best friends. Those are the only weddings we talk about.
Axe throwing coming up tomorrow night. Can't wait to tell you all about it. In the meantime, that'll do it for Whoa, Nelly. Feel Good Friday, presented by Gruber Law Offices in Hallman, Lindsay, Paints. We'll close out our show coming up next on Wilde and Tausch.
Wilde and Tausch continues next on 94.5 ESPN, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and sponsored by American Family Insurance.
Lately, I've been thinking, I want you to be happier, I want you to be happier. When the morning comes, and we see what we've become.
It is a feel-good Friday on Wilde and Tausch, painted by Hallman Lindsay Paints, and brought to you in part by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. Before we get to Tausch's feel-good story of the week, what makes me feel good is drawing our Wilde and Tausch trivia winner. Tausch, look at these entries. Lot of entries in here.
I know.
Lot of entries. Chef Ed with just his one, the lovable underdog, Chef Ed. Let's reach into my cheese fry helmet, which I got from what used to be the best bar in Wisconsin, AmFam Field. I have drawn a name. It is not Chef Ed. Sorry, Chef Ed. It is instead Nick in Wanakee.
They call him Nick the Streamer.
Nothing but a streamer. Nick in Wanakee, the winner of Wilde and Tausch trivia this week. He answered questions yesterday about positive Bucks playoff memories. Maybe that's a good sign heading into Game 7 tomorrow night. Tausch, what's your feel-good Friday story of the week for us?
My feel-good Friday, I always love when kids show some initiative and really want to go do great things. And 14-year-old Nathan Adams, he's wanted to have a job, but he's always told he's too young. So with the skills that his grandpa gave him, he started his own lawn mowing business, which I love. I always, if we have kids that live in our neighborhood, I don't want to mow the lawn. They can come and do it. But so he started this business up. And then he wanted to do something good for the community. And he was known as the lawn kid. He started the business off. He ended up getting a lawnmower from a different company. And he decided to donate 50 free lawnmowers as part of the Cadillac of mowers, because he wanted to showcase to the veterans that he wanted to do some good stuff in that area. His grandpa passed in February, and he wanted to do it in his honor. So he cut lawns for veterans for free. He's set a goal to do 50 lawns for 50 veterans. He's accomplishing it. I love it. He started his own business, and he's now doing good with it. That is a fantastic way to end the week.
That is awesome. Feel Good Friday, brought to us by Hallman Lindsay Paints and by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all. The poll is in the field. Which of these do you believe provides the best game day drinking environment? Lambeau Field, AmFam Field, Deer District. It was just posted. I did have a couple of texts and tweets come in while we discussed it, Tausch. Adam says, Tausch is wrong. Lambeau is great and all, but the parking lot is too small to even come close to AmFam Field. Yeah, the neighborhood's great, but it's not just one entity.
Oh, okay.
So I think that plays into it. Chef Ed, Tausch, I agree. Lambeau's the best. Deer District is like being at Summerfest.
Hey, Deer District is, it's humming, and it is getting, like, to see the scenes on TV, you're kind of thinking, if you love crowds and you want to be a part of the community, it is growing, and it's getting more and more popular. So I still think Lambeau wins this, but I think it's going to be a tight poll. I do.
Well, we'll see the results of it on Monday when Jason is back. I hope I didn't annoy our fans too much leading the show today. I'll let you know how axe throwing goes tomorrow night during Game 7 of Bucks Nets as well, Tausch. Bucks going to win this? Did he get convinced?
No, I'm still... I hope I'm proven wrong, but I think things are trending that the Brooklyn Nets are going to be your world champions this year.
We'll see if the Bucks are still alive when we get back together on Monday morning. Thanks for coming along with us today. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.